Ethan, we're sitting in your office. You called me in here. I don't know if I'm in trouble. I don't know what's going on. But you said something about a Dream Team podcast. I mean, what's going on? What are we doing in here?
Yeah, so our hope, desire with this, or my hope and desire, and what the kind of plan with this is we just want to talk to you guys. So there's a whole crew that helps serve, lead, build the culture out of young adults on Thursday nights. We started this gathering on Thursday nights. And so this is a chance for you and I, Zach, to be able to have conversation around some things that matter, some heartbeats, some things we're seeing. We want to let you know about some things that are coming down the pike through this. And so as you hopefully listen here in the next weeks to come, our hope is to just kind of do this semi-regularly, every other week or so, to every about two episodes a month, to just be able to talk about some culture things, some leadership skills, some we just want to be in your ear and equipping you guys as you serve and as you sacrificially give it your time, efforts. Sometimes it's easy to get in your head about it, and you're like, why am I doing all of this? And so our hope is to go, this is why you're doing this. This matters, right? Mm. And so that's kind of the hope behind the podcast. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're in here, Zach.
Okay, got it. just so we're clear, I just wanted to, you know, wasn't sure if I needed to, like, start crying now or what. No, I love that. I love what you said there. I think another side to it, too, is I can get out of my head about it. And It's just the thing I do every week. So that intentionality piece of thinking through, man, what am I doing and how am I doing it?
Yep.
That's huge. So I'm excited to get to chat about that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, my hope would be this is encouraging and equipping as we get the chance to serve together young adults in our area. We say this number a lot, but there's 24,000 young adults between Norton, Doylestown, Barberton, Wadsworth, and we want to see people reach for the gospel. Well, if that's the case, that's going to take us having some intentionality behind it, right?
Absolutely.
And going, God, would you work in and among us in a way that we couldn't ever dream of? Mm-hmm. And so we're all a part. We all get to play a part in that. You guys get to play a part in that. And so we never want to take it lightly.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
Yeah. So when I think about, like, the purpose, I laid this out a couple weeks ago in Young Adults, but the purpose, just to kind of start our conversation on this today, but the purpose of Young Adults, we kind of said it like this: it's to seek a fresh move of God among young adults in our area with hunger, humility, hustle for the glory and hope of Jesus, is the way I kind of phrased it a couple weeks ago. And so really what I want to do over these first couple episodes is just talk about those three words, those that we've kind of talked about in big circles for a little bit, but not really in a more intentional way, a smaller kind of way. So kind of those words: hunger, humility, and hustle.
Man. And so, and you covered that the first night?
That was the first night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that I'd probably appreciate hearing that. Yeah, that'd probably be helpful.
Hearing a little more on that?
Yeah, I would, given that I was absent, which you haven't let me forget, actually. So thanks for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'll just say your dad only turned 60 once, but...
And that's true.
Yeah, you know, that's... Ideally. I mean, you wouldn't want him to turn 60 a second time, but...
Well, but you guys had a good time going out there.
Had a great time.
Pennsylvania.
But I missed it, so if you could bring me up to speed, I mean, that'd be awesome. When you say hungry, I mean, I'm familiar with hunger. I got that. I experienced that several times a day.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it in kind of a different sense.
Yep.
So what do you mean when you say hungry?
Yeah, so here's what I think of. I think twofold: spiritual hunger, and then just a hunger for to see God work. And so it's really easy to not be hungry spiritually, right? And so when we think, like, a hunger, when I say spiritually, here's what I mean: like a hunger for God, to know Him, to experience Him in our daily life, like Jesus said it, that I'm the bread of life. And so when I think about that, what did He mean? It would mean that He'd be the thing that would satisfy our hearts more than anything else. It would be He would be the thing that would sustain us, to keep us going. So sometimes you guys, they all get the chance to serve. We all get the chance to serve in different ways. Sometimes it's easy to go, man, I was talking with somebody who serves on in different ways around here at the church, and they're like, man, I just feel like I'm burning out a little bit. Mm. Sometimes that's easy. Well, why is that? Sometimes it's because I'm doing the work of Jesus without actually hungering for Jesus or being satisfied, sustained by Jesus, right? Yeah. And so when I talk about hunger, that's what I mean, is this hunger for to know God, and then this hunger to, like, God, would you do something here? Like, could you work in us in a unique way that we've never seen before, we've never experienced before, that we could only go, wow, God was working among us. That makes sense?
It does make sense. I feel like, so we just had this past Sunday a conversation on the fall. That's got me thinking about a lot of things, but I think one of the consequences of mankind's original decision to turn their back on God is that we've all developed kind of like this spiritual eating disorder in a way, where we're designed to be fed through the bread of life, through Jesus, and yet we can develop this, like I said, like an eating disorder where it's like I'm starving and I don't even feel it.
Yep.
I don't feel that hunger. That's not within me at all. Doesn't change the fact that I'm starving, and I'm still going to experience all the ill effects of starvation. You know, the dryness, the deadness, the lack of energy, lack of motivation and momentum. But I don't feel that hunger within myself. So I guess my question there is, what's a way that we can stir our hunger so that we can feel that again and let that motivate us to spend time consuming, like in the best possible way, gaining strength from the Lord?
I mean that's a great question. I never thought about that, about the eating disorder. I really think the thought that I had was, you're like, I'm healthy when I'm hungry. If I'm not hungry, if you're not eating, you're not healthy, right? And so I really think there's got to be, how do I stir that hunger? I think I got to realize how desperate of a state I'm in and how desperate of a state we're in. I got to stop filling my life with junk in some sense. So, like, a lot of times what we do is we quench our appetite. Think about it like normal appetite. When you're literally physically hungry, it's easy to run somewhere and get cheap food, right? Kind of fill your stomach. It's another thing to eat something that's going to satisfy your appetite for a while, right? Like you could have something with protein in it that has some chicken or whatever that's going to satisfy your stomach much longer than if I eat potato chips, right? Or whatever the case. And so I think about that spiritually. Like, a lot of times what we do is we skim the surface of our lives in a lot of ways. So we wake up late. We rush to school. We rush to work. We come home. We grab something to eat. We then rush to hang out with other people, or we run into the endless void of Netflix or TikTok or whatever. Choose your digital vice of whatever kind. And so what happens is we fill our lives with just junk. I honestly think part of cultivating hunger is you got to cultivate that appetite for God, to seek Him, right? To know Him that way. Does that make sense? You're kind of...
Yeah, I think that makes a lot. That paints it in a really interesting way. I always think about my mom telling me, you know, you can't have cookies for dinner because you're going to spoil your appetite. I wonder how often we spoil our spiritual appetite, sometimes literally with cookies.
Yeah.
But just with any of those things, like, I think I don't like sitting still with my own thoughts, because sometimes it takes me to places I don't want to be. But how often do I, like the experience of feeling hungry is not necessarily a pleasant one. It can be extremely painful. But what it does is it drives you to seek something that is healthy and is nourishing. So how often do I just, instead of sitting in the discomfort of spiritual hunger, chase something that will temporarily kind of salve that feeling instead of letting it push me into, you know, real spiritual nutrition?
I mean, that's you see me going crazy with my head. I'm like, bingo, man. Like, I just think what happens is we've numbed our hearts to hunger for God because we've filled our hearts with junk food, if we could say it that way. We've eaten cookies before we ate our dinner. And what happens is that we think we're satisfied, but what we're confused by is why we feel sick something feels not right, right? And so what's fascinating to me, we just did we had a retreat this fall, seek first. We did Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. It talks about worry, talks about anxiety right before that. Well, right after it, we didn't get a chance to even touch this, but right after it, Jesus, you asked, like, how do I stir that hunger? Mm-hmm. Jesus talks, he goes into prayer, mm-hmm. and then he goes into fasting, and he's talking literally fasting. So the seeking first, somehow Jesus knew we would struggle to, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, do I have to go out and do a bunch of things for God? No. Do I have to get really religious? Not necessarily. What does it look like? It starts, one, with relationship with him through prayer. And then I do think there's something about this, like, when I'm physically hungry, then there's this spiritual hunger that can come. And so if you've never tried fasting, I encourage you to try it. Take a meal, skip a meal, skip a day where you just go, God, I'm hungry right now because I hunger for something deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think whether that's food, which I think is so good and true and what Jesus is talking about, but even when it comes to our digital, even when it comes to our hobbies, even when it comes to busyness, whatever it is, like if I could starve something to go, you know what, I'm going to cut that out of my life so I can be, the reason I'm cutting it out is because I hunger for God more than I hunger for that, the things of this world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime a good thing, like we're not saying that any of these things are bad in and of themselves, maybe some of them are, but anytime a good thing becomes the ultimate thing, then it becomes a very bad thing. Mm-hmm. So this idea of, man, I need to set aside some of these things that I'm actually looking to and correctly to fill my appetite.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I recognize only God can do. Man, that's huge. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason hunger is so important for one, your spiritual heart. One, if you're hungry, like the older you get, the more you learn how to feed yourself, right? So like a baby, when you're a baby, when my kids were babies, they'd cry and I'd give them a bottle because they were hungry, right? Well, now they're toddlers and I'm chopping up their food and setting it on a plate and giving it to them. One day, they're going to be teenagers, they're going to be young adults, and they're going to say, Dad, I'm hungry. I'm going to look at them and go, the kitchen's right there.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The fridge is right there. You can get your own food, right? So the more, what can happen, I think, is we grow up in church, we're so used to people just giving us spiritual food, like mm-hmm. just let me hear the guy preach or let me have the sermon or whatever, or let me whatever. And I think what we have to get really, really good at, you guys as serving, leading different ways, you got to get good at going, God, I want you. I personally want you, and I want to learn what it does it look like to somehow not just crave spiritual milk, not just like, but I want meat, I want you, I want to experience you, know you, and I want to learn how to do it for my own, right? Mm. So that I can be an impact for others, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I think what can happen is the reason you don't want to go get your own food is because you get lazy,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's
you
honest.
Get apathetic. You just don't care. Mm. And I think what happens often in churches is that churches are full of people who are apathetic and lazy, which sounds terrible. That sounds really cold. I don't mean it like that. I honestly think I see it in my own heart. There's just this tendency like, God, I don't know. I don't like sitting in the uncomfortableness of hungering for you.
Mm. Yeah, that's real. Mm-hmm. And I think as a caution, I mean, when you fill your gut with junk food, first of all, there's all the health issues that come with it, but it's not truly filling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not really. It doesn't sustain. And so what happens is I'll contextualize it to young adults, and I'm certainly not speaking from experience or anything like that. I definitely am. when I come in and I've filled my stomach with the wrong thing, I am still hungry, even if I don't feel hungry, and I'm hungry for all the wrong things. If I don't curate my appetite, I'll show up to young adult group, and what I'm looking for actually isn't to serve the people around me. It's to serve myself. Mm-hmm. And it's through the relationships and it's through the social activity and I'm looking for all the wrong things. And so actually what happens is I'm not effective at all for the people around me because I'm just trying to fill my own stomach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so true. So true. And so I think when it comes to our purpose as young adults, like what Thursdays are right now to what I hope God would just do and work among us is that we would have a people like that God would work through us in a powerful way, that we would hunger individually, that we would have this hunger for God to know him, to experience him, to ache and long, like our stomachs, spiritually speaking, would just gurgle to go like, I want to see the presence of God and I want to see him work in my life individually. But then I think, what would that look like collectively?
Yeah.
That if all of us came together and were like, God, we want to see you move. We want to see you work. Would you do something among us? Would you be the one to move in and through us? We hunger. We want you here. We're not pushing you out. We're not trying to avoid the awkwardness of our stomachs gurgling, like, or trying to fill it with something else. But we hunger for you to move and work because we think it might make a difference in not just our lives, but in the lives of others in a way that would seek first his kingdom. And we just see God, I don't know, we see God move in a way that would be beyond us and to something unimaginable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not for our glory, or not for our recognition,
nope,
but all for his. And so,
yeah.
Conversation one, man.
That's it. That was great.
Yeah.
Man, what do we need to know that's maybe coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. So as we look to the next couple of weeks, we have our series coming up on Jonah. So we're going to be looking 4 weeks through the book of Jonah together. I'm really excited about that. Jonah's a fascinating story in the Old Testament. So if you've never read it, I was just reading it with some guys this week, and it's amazing. It feels kind of an odd story. And so,
yeah, how did he fit all the animals on that ark?
Wrong story.
All right, yeah, yep. Okay.
Yep.
All right, my bad.
But I'm looking forward to that. I actually have a guest who's coming in to speak on one of the last weeks. So October 30th, we're launching Jonah. We're going to finish our conversation on greatness the week prior, and then we're going to go till about November 20th with that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Be good.
All right. Well, y'all, can't wait to see ya. Can't wait to see you come hungry. That's the idea. I just want to throw this out too. Man, if you felt convicted by this, like you're thinking about, you know what, maybe I got to try fasting. Maybe I got to try one of these things. Let somebody know. Let us know. Let somebody else know. Because it's so easy to think about these things and then you don't actually do them. Get some accountability there because it's a really helpful practice. And also just hearing from you guys that you guys are latching onto stuff and you're trying it and you're seeing the Lord move in your life. That's an encouragement for anybody that you share that with. Us included. So personally, absolutely, selfishly, I'd love to hear it. But
if I can say this, I just always want to tell you guys this. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
The best thing you have to offer us or the church or God, if I could say that, the best thing you have to offer God is who God's making you guys to be. And the best thing you have to give to people is who God's making you to be. And so thank you guys for letting God use you each and every week.
Amen. We'll catch you guys on the next one.